Okay, good morning. Good morning, Rabotai. Welcome to Breakfast on the Class. Breakfast on the Class today is dedicated in loving memory of Victor Megidish. Lilu Nishmat Victor Ben Amos Vahuta, sponsored by his sister Tamar Megidish. Also dedicated in honor of his wife Judy in celebration of their 19th wedding anniversary by Maurice Khosh. May they be blessed with all the best. Mabruk. Where are we? Is he here? Oh, there he is. Oh, fantastic. Hazaku Baruch, inshallah, visit many, many more. Dedicated in loving memory of Simon Shatrit Lav Shalom Nishmat Shimon Ben Yitzchak Masuda, sponsored by Joseph and Judah Shatrit and their families. As well, dedicated in loving memory of Mrs. Lily Sefer Nishmat Leah Bat Chana. Her philanthropy has reached so many throughout the entire world. And Rabbanit Chana Farchi for Refuah Shleimah, Chana Bat Sima Fega, and Rabbi Eli Abedi Eliyahu Shimon Ben Mazal for Tunei. Le'ezat Hashem will be Zochet to see Refuah Shleimah Bekarov. Finally, the week of Kobe was sponsored by David E. Ash, in honor of you and your substantial capacity to do good today and every day. Let us begin. So we have a beautiful segment in our parasha this week, which is the segment, the part of the parasha which talks about the process of a nazir. The nazir was someone who made a promise to separate themselves. And what was the promise? That for 30 days, we know stam nizirut, if a person does not dictate or specify how long the Nazirut is for. So he says, I will be a Nazir. If he doesn't say how long, default Nazir is 30 days. If the guy says how long, then that's something else. But default Nazir, 30 days. So for 30 days, what does he do? He doesn't cut his hair. He doesn't come into contact with a dead body or the cemetery. He can't go to the cemetery. And the final thing he can't do, as we know, is he cannot drink wine. So that's it. For 30 days, that's what he does. Now the Pasuk says, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, speak to the Jewish people and tell them, Isho Isha, ki Yafli. Yafli, according to the Mefarshim, express comes from a language of Pele, which means that someone does something which is a wonder. It's wild. This guy did this neder, he became a Nazir, La Hashem, Ko Yimei Haziro, all the days of his separation, of his Nazirut, La Hashem Al Nefesh Met Lo Yavo, La'aviv limo, he should become tameh. He should not become tameh even for his family. As we explained, the difference between a nazir and a kohen becomes tameh for the family members, the immediate family members, and a nazir does not. And one of the reasons for that is because the kohen receives his kiddusha from his family. So therefore, he's mitameh to his family. The nazir, he is kiddusha, came from his own abstinence. Lo yitama lahem b'motam. Kinezer Elohav al Rosho, for the crown of his God is on his head. Kol Yemen Nizro Kadosh Hashem, all the days of his Nizirut, Kodesh Hashem, he is sanctified to God. Now, the Sephorno is brought down in the Sefer Otsotem Amale. He brings down that the Sephorno says on this specific pasuk, he says that if a person pulls himself away from the desires of this world, if he segments himself, if he says to himself, I don't need to have every last creature comfort. I don't need to have the most, the newest, the most expensive. I don't have to have. When a person can put up those barriers and just say no to the whims and to the desires of his of humankind. So what happens when the person does that? Listen carefully. Leman yekulo la'Hashem, in order that he should be completely for God, to deal with his Torah and to go in his ways and to cleave to him. Kadosh yeyeh. What will happen to this person? Nivdal min ha'ta'avot ha'chumriyot. He will become separated apart from the desire, the physical desires of this world. Kadosh hu Hashem. Now I want you to hear the last words of the Sephorno. Yizkeh la'or be'or ha'chaim. He is granted the light of the light of life, some sort of intense life force is granted to him. Listen carefully to these words. V'lihiyot muchan lehavin ulehorot, and he becomes a person who understands and is capable of giving advice and ruling on halachic matters, kara'ui l'kedoshei ador, as is befits someone who is one of the holiest of his generation. Now all the commentators ask, whoa, a person separates themselves from a little bit of you know, of desire, a little bit of creature comforts for a short amount of time, and you're telling me the guy's, you know, his light is magnified, he becomes a leader amongst men, nivdal min ha-ta'avot, what are we talking about over here? And what is the man has, if the guy said, I'm not going to breathe for 30 days, you know, that's impressive. You know, if you survive that, I don't know, you must be something special. The fact that a guy could decide not to drink wine for 30 days, I've gone more than 30 days without drinking wine in my life. Now, it's true. I had to have grape juice for Kiddush. But I'm saying, like the pull of a drink, of having a glass of wine, I've gone more than 30 days without cutting my hair. And I've gone more than 30 days without going to a cemetery. Right? Is that true for most people? First of all, I don't know. I didn't notice that I all of a sudden became Rav Moshe Feinstein, Chacham Ovadia. Like, I didn't get the... I seem to have not received the perks. Right? So what's going on? Number two, what is so wondrous about this that the Torah uses the word lehafli? It's such a wonder. It's a crown of God upon his head. What are we communicating here? What are we saying? So I want to drive home an idea that I think is very powerful, expressed by Rev Turk. He says as follows. He says it's true that that's what the Torah says. But if you read it that way, you didn't pay attention close enough to the words of the Sephorno. And if you would pay attention close enough to the Sephorno, I believe, personally, that you'd actually see those words in the Pasuk itself. So the Torah over here is not telling you that there is a power to being able to exert self-control. Although that is true. The Rishonim used to say that when a person has a sandwich, you know that you know how good that last bite feels? The Rishonim used to say that if you're eating this piece of steak, you're having a sandwich, and you get to that last bite, and you leave the last bite on the plate, that's considered as if you fasted. Now, someone has not told the scale about this, so it's not, you know, literally as if you fasted, but the Mefarshim say that it's considered on a spiritual level as if a person refrained from eating completely. Why? Because the exertion of that control, once you're in the eating moment, in the eating, you know, kind of rotation, and you're just kind of chowing down. I mean, we've all had this, where you don't think you're hungry until you start eating, and then you finish your plate. You know, I didn't even realize I was hungry. So once a person's in that state, what happens? And this is very interesting. So some of you may have gone to a restaurant and seen that at the top of the restaurant, there's something called appetizers. Now, most of us, I don't know if you think of appetizers in the term of the appetizer was designed to be thought about. Most of us just think it's a small portion, probably overpriced, that the restaurant's going to charge me for this little kind of tease of whatever it is that I'm ordering. Sliders or mabarif or pulled beef tacos, right? That's how Jewish restaurants work. One restaurant has a popular item, then you go into a restaurant, and the next week, every restaurant, every kosher restaurant that exists in the world, and their appetizer menu has pulled beef tacos. Hazaku baruch. Okay? Now, but appetizers are actually a scientific thing. Where did they begin? They began by the realization that when you gave the body something small to eat, it doesn't matter if it's fruit, to open up the appetite, what happens? The body starts to realize, okay, we're in eating mode. And what happens? It opens the stomach, it prepares the stomach acids, your mouth, you'll start noticing, begins to salivate. You ever notice that? You go to a sebet, you all of a sudden you're smelling the mazit, right? Well, your mouth is now full of saliva. Why? Because your body's preparing itself. You eat something small, all of a sudden now you're hungrier than when you ate, than you didn't eat at all. It pulls the appetite with. That's why it's called an appetizer. That's the idea. Now listen to this, my friends. Appetizers don't only exist in restaurants. Appetizers exist in human behavior. And when a person acts in one lane of human behavior, what happens is behind that process comes an expansion of that same process. So as an example, a person starts by telling a few small lies. What happens? Those lies snowball. A person starts by gambling just a little. A person starts, right? No one ever started smoking by being a chain smoker, right? Always only ever started with one cigarette, or bar minan, with one. They took the tiniest bit of drugs on this crazy trip that they had with the boys, and they thought it was fun and it was going to be enjoyable, and now the guy's life is ruined. I unfortunately know people whose lives were destroyed by drugs and alcohol. We have to be so careful with these things. A lot of times you think you're so powerful, you'll be able to control yourself. Like 0% of the people who started thought that this was going to consume them, but it does, and it did. And gambling, my friends, is the same thing. And I've spoken about this many times. We live in a very dangerous time for gamblers. Not because there's a question of a casino coming to Coney Island, like you all know, but because now you watch a basketball game, or a football game, or a hockey game, doesn't matter what game anymore. 3 times, 5 times, 10 times during the game, there's gonna be an advertisement for FanDuel, right, for Caesars. And what are they pitching you? To bet on the game. In your office, fantasy league. Oh yeah, what's the buy-in? So today, you're not gambling anymore. Sports. Who's your pick? Oh, these are my picks. These are my guys. And it's become, number one, socially acceptable. Number two, it's allowed. They're allowing them. You know, I just imagine, you know, if you ever see a commercial, or you hear a commercial for this drug. They give you a drug, and what's the drug? The drug is, take finasteride, blah, 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 right? For your sniffles.
It may cause, diarrhea and incontinence and infertility, and it might cause you to become irritable. Do not operate heavy machinery on it. It has been known to cause cancer, Alzheimer's, and death.
Right, that's how they give you the full... Now, why they do that? Because they have to. They have to tell you about the devastating consequences of this drug that you took to get rid of your sniffles, because it causes everything, including death. My favorite side effect of these things is when the side effect of the item is the same thing that the item is for.
Make with sniffles.
I mean, it's a crapshoot, right? My friends, imagine that was the end of every gambling commercial.
May cause you divorce and you lose your children and your home. You might be living that guy, you know, Steve from the corner, that could be you. And causes death, right?
Imagine if, right, that was how it was. But that is unfortunately, you know, the story for some people. And I'm just like to, just on a public platform, to try and encourage in our community, we have something called SAFE. And they're operating and they're working very, very hard to help people with every form of addiction. And it's important if you see that you're starting to head down that slippery slope, but you think to yourself, I've got this covered. You know, I can tell you one thing, it's so much easier to solve the problem while you still think you have it covered. So the first element of a nazir is the beauty of self-control. And the crazy thing is, of any self-control. If you can teach yourself to control yourself in one area, if you know how to tell your body no and enforce your will on it instead of having it force its will on you, if you know how to do that, then the X to which you're saying no to is not relevant. If you've learned how to manage one, oftentimes that will help a person manage another. So the first idea of Nazirut is the concept of Vayin Nazir. And you pulled yourself away from something. Pulled yourself away from spending too much. There's that beautiful car, you really want it. The payments are going to be tough. The world will tell you, live a little. Carpe Porsche. Go grab it. And the Torah is saying, is this what you, not you in this moment, but is this what you really want? You know, if you could think ahead to the payments, not to that feeling of driving the car off the lot. If you could think that, is this what you really want? Is this what you really need? Guys buying apartments and houses that are too big or too expensive to buy or to rent. For what? For the sake of what? For bragging rights to about something that nobody cares about? They came to your house, they said, wow, very nice, and then they left. So for that, you're going to choke on a mortgage? You're going to choke on car payments that you didn't need to be making? So the first element of is vayinazer, is the concept of pulling oneself back, the ability to say no to cookies. You know what? I better not. I better not. Have a drink. You know you shouldn't. You know the situation's not right. You know you're in a bad mood. You know how you are when you drink something, let's go. You know, I better not. That's number one. But the second thing I want to drive home is really, in some ways, a whole different ballgame. Because there's a lot of people who pull back from temptation in a lot of ways. And we don't see them becoming great, holy people. There was a fascinating conversation with Rav Dessler. His students asked him, they're like, you know, what's going on here? You see sometimes people that they don't have food to eat. You know, the Mishnah says, Pat melach tochal, if you eat bread and salt and you drink water sparingly, if a person kind of is not given prone to the luxuries of this world, you know, they'll merit a very beautiful spiritual life. They're not obsessed with the, you know, this world. So they asked him, look, there's lots of people who don't have. He said, come with me. He points, there's a prison outside. He says, look, there's a lot of people in that prison. They're living very painful lives. They don't have too much to eat. They don't have too much to drink. It's not the pain itself. The refrain itself is not what gives the person the leg up. He draws their attention. We look back now at the words of the Sforno. The Sforno said, "Lafrish atzmo mikol ele," to pull myself away from these things, these three things in the pasuk, wine, tumah, and cutting your hair. Leman yihyeh kulo laHashem. It's with the express intent of coming closer to God, leaving something out for Hashem. I was trying to come up with an example of how to express this. Imagine, as an example, a person is fighting with their siblings or fighting with their parents. They feel, you know what, Rabbi, I know, I got to stop. Rabbi tells them, listen, it's very hard. You've been fighting with your parents, with your brothers or sisters for so long. I'm not asking you to go cold turkey. I'm asking you to fight a little bit less. Could you not curse at them? You know? Could you maybe not say anything? I don't say anything nice. Don't say anything not nice. Could we try something? Anyway, the guy comes back. Rabbi, you'd be so proud of me. I managed to go 8 hours every day without fighting my siblings. Rabbi is like, wow. 8 hours every day? Sometimes people take Lashon Hara, 1 hour. They're going to be very careful not to be. This guy, 8 hours every day, says that it's amazing. What time? And the guy goes, from midnight, the truth is, Rabbi, from midnight until 8 a.m. What time you go to sleep? Midnight. What time you get up? 8 a.m. The fact that you're not fighting when you're sleeping, you weren't fighting before when you were sleeping. I mean, I don't know what's going on in his dreams. Right? It's not a big deal. The idea of not drinking wine for 30 days when you just didn't drink wine for 30 days, that doesn't mean anything. You didn't even notice that you were exerting that self-control. You happened to not have wine for 30 days. That's not hard. But the minute you know you can't have something, what happens? Right? Half the days of my life, I don't eat anything until, you know, the late afternoon. Why? Because I do the intermittent fasting generally, so I don't eat breakfast, right? What happens at lunch? You get busy. When is the first time you get a chance to eat? 4 p.m. Give me a fast until 4 p.m. I'm kvetchy. I'm like, I'm exhausted. I can't. This is every day. What's the difference? Today I have to. By the way, it's also the halakha. We learned in Masechet. Ta'anit. In Masechet Ta'anit, we learn together, our Gemara boys, if anyone wants to join, let us know. In Masechet Ta'anit, we learned that if a person realizes halfway through the day, he realizes, oh, you know what? It's almost 4 p.m. It's almost 3 o'clock. I think I can make it to 7. I want this to be the fast. I owe a fast. I promised I would. This should be the fast. What's the halakha? Doesn't count. What fast counts? Only a fast that you declared a fast. That's why if a person is making a fast, which is a private fast, not a public one, a private fast, so he must, at mincha the day before, at the end of his tefillah, he says, "Hareni mekabel alai, I accept on myself tomorrow as a ta'anit." If you accept it and you fasted, that counts as a fast. If you happen to fast it, it's not a fast. You got busy. You couldn't find a restaurant that had something you like. That's not self-control. That's a person who stopped paying attention. And the day got away from them. My friends, this is what the Sforno says. You can sit all day and all week and all 30 days and not have a cup of wine. Nothing. You didn't go to the cemetery. Hazaku Baruch. You didn't cut your hair. You saved yourself some money. Nothing. But if you decide that I'm doing this, I'm going to hold myself back, I'm going to get myself together, I'm going to exert self-control for the purpose of becoming a more elevated individual. Lema'an, like the Sforno says, Lema'an, in order, Yihyeh kulo la'Hashem, in order to be for God. All of a sudden, when you have that intention, the smallest actions become huge. And that's why, if you pay close attention, I told you, you find it in the Sforno, but you really find the Pasuk. Listen to the Pasuk, what it says. Ish o isha, ki yafli lindor neder. When they do something amazing, they make a neder. Nazir lahazir lahashem. You get it? The nizirut is for Hashem. When your nizirut is for God, then the tiniest thing is a big deal. When you're doing it with intention, that intention makes the smallest actions magnify to enormous. My friends, it's interesting if you pay attention. It talks about it a few times, Rav Sarutzkin points out. It talks about it a few times in the Pasuk. The first time it says, what is this guy? Nezer Elokav al Rosho. Right? He grows the crown of God on his head. Se'ar Rosho. Time Rosh HaNizro. Keeps talking about the Nazir being the head. Only in verse 8 does it talk about Kadosh Hu. He is Kadosh. Because the head dictates the quality of those actions. You come home, you have a cookie. You went to a Brit Milah, you got a cookie. Your wife says, oh, what's a cookie? You're like, oh, you know, I walked out of the Brit, I had to run. I took a cookie, I didn't eat it. You want it? What's your wife say? How about if you tell your wife, and it's true, better be true. I went to the Brit Milah, and I thought of you, so I brought you a cookie. It's a different cookie. What changed? Either scenario, it's a cookie you bought from the Brit Milah that you didn't eat. The difference is enormous. One is, I took the cookie, I brought it, I didn't eat it, and you know why? Because I was thinking of you. That cookie is an act of love. The cookie that you didn't eat on the way home, what'd you give her? Leftovers. Here, honey, couldn't be bothered. So instead of throwing this in the garbage, open wide. What am I, garbage? That's the difference. My friend's intention is so important because it dictates the power of small actions. Your actions don't need to be good. Don't need to be, excuse me, huge. If your intentions are good. A loving husband or a loving wife who does small things, the small things, that's a person that will stay happily married forever. A person who does without intention, or a person, even if he does big things, That's not the guy who stays happily married forever. That's the guy who does gestures, but isn't really thinking with a loving perspective. So my friends, Hashem should bless us be'ezrat Hashem, always to use the power of the Rosh, the power of the head, to be able to elevate our actions, and through a little bit of abstaining, to think to yourself, you know what? Kosher, kosher, kosher. Shabbat, it'd be much easier. I want to know the score. Check my phone. Don't check your phone. Go downstairs. Ask the doorman if you need to. Something small. You know, elevator, I'm on the second floor. I don't know exactly the situation. I'm not going to push it with my elbow. We'll tell the guy, I'm going to walk the stairs. Small, second floor, no biggie. But I'm doing it because I want to keep Shabbat. I want to come closer to Hashem. Any action, however small, with the right thoughts, is magnified by virtue of that intention. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen v'amen.